You're listening to the Enjoy Today, Own Tomorrow podcast, where you will find engaging and truthful conversations. Join us as we turn our hurts into healing, no matter what we're facing. Our hope is that you are equipped with tried and true practical strategies that lead to healing so that we can enjoy today and own tomorrow. Here's your host, Lane Lawson Craft.
Well, hello, everybody. I hope you're having a great day. Listen, today is a powerful day. What do we do when we get to a point in life when we go, God, what do I do now? What do you do when you're facing a terrible crisis? Shonda Whitworth, man, she is amazing. She shares on how her son had never been in trouble, not with the law or really not at all. And one day they get a phone call that he'd been arrested for murder. He was 20 years old. This trauma completely changed their lives forever. You've got to listen in today. There's so much wisdom and so much hope. And it's a powerful story. I know you're going to want to jump right in.
You know, every day we are blessed and we are grateful for the day God gave us. And some days are better than others. And today our guest, Shonda, she has a powerful story of how a son of hers that had never been in trouble all of a sudden is facing, and I'm looking here, Shonda, murder and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Wow. What a way to start this podcast. How are you today?
Hi, Lane. Thank you for having me on your podcast. Now, that was devastating news. It was one of the least things we expected in life. We had raised our children in church. We had done all the right things, marked all the right checks off on the checklist of being a good, godly parent, you know, taught them right from wrong, was very involved in their lives. Well, when our oldest son, Stephen, graduated from high school, he decided to go off on his own, not go to college. He moved to a town that was 5 hours away from where we lived. I was concerned about his choice of friends in the lifestyle he started leading a little bit. And I would raise my concerns to our prayer group and they would just tell me, don't worry, mama, they go through this phase, he'll get through it. But then we got that phone call and I said, this is not a phase. And I have no idea how we're going to get through this, but God.
And wow. And Shonda, I just want everyone to know, I mean, this is a very important part where religion has failed a lot of people. People like me, for many years, I grew up thinking, Shonda, if I lived right and did right, then life would be all right. And that's not necessarily true. Some of the godliest people I know that have served their whole lives for the kingdom have had tragedies and trials. And so I just want a listener to, and a viewer to hear this, because I think a lot of times we beat ourselves up. We go, if I'd only, or, you know, maybe I'm the reason that you carry some shame and guilt with it. So listen, we want to tell you right now that great people, you know, good things happen to bad things happen to good people. I love that book. I read it a long, long time ago. And I believe it was Kushner, if I'm not incorrect. And it was just an amazing book because it kind of set me free, Shonda, that there was no way I could live a certain life that was going to keep me cocooned from life's tragedies. So anyway, you were a normal family. I really want to go back to that. You were believers. You were going to church. You were praying. Yes. And you get a phone call. So let's start there. How old was he? And what did the phone call say?
He was 21 at the time. And we had a 14-year-old at home. And my husband was a federal agent at the time. So federal law enforcement. So he got a call from the sheriff from the community where Stephen was living and said, you need to contact us. We've arrested your son. And here's what's going on. Your son has been arrested and he's with his roommate, and he's being charged with murder and aggravated assault. And at the time that my husband is on the phone writing this down on the paper, and he's repeating some of the words, "Stephen's arrested." And then I saw my husband write the letters M-U-R-D-E-R down on a piece of paper. I grabbed a piece of paper and wrote down the first verse that came to my mind, which I've heard over and over and over again in church, is Romans 8:28, "For God works out all things for good for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose." And I was, part of me was like, really, Lord, this is the one right now? You know, this is the one I hear too often. Sometimes it feels a little cliche. I said, but nevertheless, Lord, this is your word. And this is what I'm going to hold on to. This is not okay. And I don't see how any good can come out of this, but I'm going to pray your word. And I held on to that piece of paper for the longest time as we started walking through this ordeal, as it started unfolding more and more.
So if you don't mind, just a very short version of the story. What was he facing? What happened?
Well, he was facing, at that early point, it is a tragedy. It is really bad. But he was looking at a capital charge, and in the state of Texas. The state of Texas is a death penalty state. And I really thought, my son did something so heinous, and he's going to go get the death penalty. And I was just reeling in my heart. And I just said, I've got to get the word of God to my son. I've got to remind him of 1 John 1:9. If he will confess his sins, God is faithful and just to forgive his sins. I need to make sure that we will be reunited in heaven if my son's facing the death penalty. And so I was, that's where my heart was at that moment. I was just fearful of that. But one of the first things that as the events continued to unfold that turned out good was the young woman survived that was assaulted with the deadly weapon. She survived and she got better and better. And I was been praying for that. And so the charges came back a little bit, a notch. And so he was charged with first degree murder felony and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. And so it did not go capital. And so for that, I was grateful. Like, the death penalty was then off the table. And I was able to relax a little bit, if you can relax in this kind of a situation, but it eased my nerves to know that he wasn't facing the death penalty then.
Wow. And so I'm really kind of ignorant in all of this. So she didn't die, right?
No, she didn't, but another man did. A boyfriend.
Okay. So that's where the murder comes in.
Yes, ma'am. Someone did lose his life that night. So there was a murder, and the young lady was injured severely, and she did eventually recover. I don't know the full extension of her recovery. I continue to pray for her full recovery from that tragic night, both emotionally and physically. But the charges that were brought against them were murder and aggravated assault. And he was facing 5 to 99 at that point.
Never been in trouble.
Never been in trouble before that. Never had been in trouble.
Do you think drugs were related? Just curious. Were they high? Was there alcohol and drugs involved?
Absolutely. Alcohol and drugs were very much involved that night. And they were all messed up that night.
So for you parents out there, you know, this stuff is real. And I know in my family, we've experienced a lot of darkness with drugs and alcohol and things. And so if you're out there today, you're not alone. This world has sucked in a lot of our young people. I believe the enemy is out to seek, kill, and destroy this generation with all arsenals. And so together, sharing these kind of stories of hope and us coming together and praying for one another, and praying for the sake of our children and our children's children. You know, it's just so powerful. So here you are, son's in jail. I'm sure it took a long time to go to the court systems. You know, the court systems are, what year was this, Shonda?
This happened in 2011. We're up on our 10th year now. And his trial did go to, it did go to trial fairly quickly. He went to trial in 2012. It was only 9 months after he was arrested that he went to trial. My son chose to go to trial by jury for his case. The district attorney had offered him a plea deal of 50 years and they would not negotiate back any at all. And so he chose to go to trial because as evidence unfolded, we learned that he did not actually commit the murder. He was there at the scene when it happened.
An accessory.
He was like an accessory to the crime. Yes. In the state of Texas, it's called the Texas Law of Parties, which I wasn't aware of at the time that went to trial, but he was convicted as if he had done it. And the jury, he chose to be sentenced by a jury of his peers, and a jury sentenced him to 20 years for both offenses, and they were to run concurrently. So he got a total of 20 years for this, for being there but not participating in this ordeal.
Is there any chance for good behavior, anything like that, for early parole or anything like that?
Well, in the state of Texas, for aggravated offenses, once you've served 50% of your time, which he got a 20-year sentence. So at the 10-year mark, this year is the 10-year mark, he's eligible for parole. So he is currently under parole review at this time.
Has that been horrific as a mother to know your son is behind bars?
This has been one of the hardest things I think I've ever gone through as a mother. And as a mom, you know that we've gone through different trials, raising boys, raising and getting in trouble, jumping off things they shouldn't jump off of and playing with big boy toys that, you know, go vroom and you hope they don't crash. Those kinds of things that we deal with as mothers, but this one I had never imagined.
And, you know, I'm thinking about a mother, but with your husband being in that line of work, he must have just been absolutely shocked, number one. And then he knew the system. He knew the outcome. And I know together that must have been tremendously hard.
Well, this was very difficult because how do we discuss this among our peers? But one of the first things we did do, he notified his work right away and told them. I notified my church right away. But the thing is my church, they didn't know what to do because they hadn't had anybody come forward like this before. And I'm like, wait a minute, there's people in prison. There's got to be some help somewhere. And I was just baffled that even though people were loving and kind to me, they just didn't know where to send me for help.
Wow. And so that birthed your ministry. The name of your ministry, I'm sitting here looking at my notes, is Fortress of Hope Ministries. Let's step into that right now. What do you offer?
Well, as Fortress of Hope Ministries, we offer a support group and a place to a safe place for families who've been affected by incarceration to come together and share their concerns and their hurts. Because when you're thrown into this lifestyle of no choice of your own, it's a whole different world. There's a different language you got to learn. There's different behaviors and protocols you have to follow. It's a whole different system. It's like stepping into another realm of reality that most people just don't understand. And you don't understand it until you're thrown into it.
Amen. You know, yes, we've had some brushes with the law with our two young adult sons. And the scripture of the mercy of the court never became more applicable in our lives than we were standing in front of a judge that could change the dynamics of everything. You know, it's you, like you said, you don't know the world that is until you step in it. And did you find that world was so broken also, that system?
Oh, absolutely. The system is broken. And, you know, one of the things that the Lord put on my heart is that anywhere there's humans, there's going to be brokenness because no one is perfect. The only perfect one was Jesus Christ. And the rest of us are broken people. So there's going to be broken systems everywhere. So what can we do about it? Well, what we can do about it is we pray about it. Yeah. And we cover things in prayer. We cover our son in prayer in prison and while he's there. And God has done miraculous things in his life and through his life inside the prison walls. One was when he decided to surrender his life fully to the Lord, and he's totally sold out on fire for the Lord and serving him on the inside, ministering to people, tutoring people, and doing things that, you know, I never would have imagined him doing, but he's serving the Lord with all his heart, all his soul, and all his mind. And that gives me a great deal of peace. And God has worked that out for good. But praying is the number one best thing that we can do. So many people say, oh, well, the least I can do is pray.
Right, right.
But the best thing we can do is pray.
That's the first thing I've learned to do. When you get, so you were, that's interesting. You know, you were completely shell-shocked. No pun intended. I mean, you know, we had run after run after run. And wow, I got to where instead of panic, which was the initial, I mean, I'm just confessing, I would panic. My stomach would drop and I'd run to the restroom and just tears would flow. I would just be panicked. I learned immediately in time. First thing I did was pray. Father, I don't understand what's going on, but you do, and you're in control. And, you know, just immediately put that prayer, and that just kind of pauses the chaos and the panic and lets God back in control. And that's very powerful, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, surrendering that control over and over and over again for me. I mean, because I would want to try to control it and fix it, but there was no way I could fix this. You know, oh, I made my attempts by trying to talk to the attorney, but in attorneys can't talk to family members because we are not the client. And so, you know, I've tried to fix it with the attorney. I would try to fix it with the system. And finally, one warden told me, says, ma'am, with all due respect, your son is in my prison and I am in control here.
Well, and wasn't it something, because I don't know about your son, but my children were very immature. They were very late bloomers. I mean, although they might be 19, 20, 21, they were like a 15, 16 year old when we were growing up, you know? So it was so difficult because at 18, the system looks at them as adults.
Absolutely.
And I know that my sons were far from adults, but they were being treated in that manner. And that's another level, unless you've experienced it. You know, these kids are with some really bad people that are much older, and these are just kids. These are just kids.
Yes. Yes.
And that's where I find the system broken, you know. Well, this is just powerful. You wrote a book, and the title of your book, you can tell us,
is Appeal to the Courtroom of Heaven, Petitions for Prisoners and Prison Families. Now, this is not what I dreamt would be my first book. You know, I had dreamt of writing a book for a number of years, attended conferences and retreats on honing in on my writing skills. And I had Bible studies that I had dreamed of writing that were never published, but I never imagined writing this book. But the Lord got a hold of me, because before this happened, he had called me to be a writer and a speaker. And when this happened, I was like, Lord, really? Now you want me to be a writer and speaker? I said, before I was excited about it. Now I'm not excited about it. But I was a little naive in the aspect of a lot of the people I've watched on the speaking platform and authors and everything. I was naive to think that they hadn't gone through a mess in order to get their message, or that they haven't passed that test in order to have a testimony. And I was a little naive to that, but the Lord opened my eyes and said, you know, this is what I want you to write about. And this is what I want you to speak about, because as you write about it and you speak about it, you're going to open the pathway for others to be able to open up and speak about this, because there are so many hurting families that hide within our churches that are going through this. And most of us have no idea. When we went to our pastors and had talked to them about starting a ministry out of our pain, immediately I thought they were going to say, well, let's just work with you a little bit and see how things go. They said yes right away. And they said, well, when do you want to start? Well, this was in May. And being a Bible study teacher for years, I know that the best timeline to follow is the school timeline. So you start in the fall. And I said, well, we'll start in the fall. And that would give me time to prepare. And she came back and said, the pastor's wife said, Shonda, I think you need to start right now. I said, but this is May. People are gearing up for vacation and going away. And she says, no, I just feel the Holy Spirit's telling me you need to start now. What are you getting? And I said, I'm not getting anything. I said, so I'll just have to take your word for it as a pastor. And if you say we need to start right now, we'll start right now. And so all they did was announce it from the pulpit. The following Sunday, we told a few people and they announced it from the pulpit. At that first meeting, there were 9 people there and people I recognized from church. And I say, oh, well, what are you doing here? I'm like, you know, did you come to support us in this? And they, no, we have a son that's in prison. And, you know, we just don't know till we open up and have that dialogue.
Wow. Wow. This is so powerful. There are so many levels. Shonda, I'm so thrilled you came. If people want to connect with you personally, can they go to your website?
Yes, at fortressofhopeministries.com. Yeah. They can contact me through that website.
That is unbelievable. If you know, looking back, you know, hindsight is 2020. And I know the Lord says, don't look at yesterday. And I know we don't, you know, you can't. What would be the greatest nugget? What could you tell us today? First, let's do 2 words. One, let's do one to the woman or the man today that has a child in prison. What would you say to them today?
I would say, hold on to the word of God, because the word of God is full of hope. The word of God, as I read it, and I read it through new filters of going through this legal process, is full of prisoners, scoundrels, people who misbehaved, people who did wrong. But when they humbled themselves before God, he redeemed them and restored their lives. Like, think about Moses. In Exodus, you see early on, after he became grown, he looked to the left and he looked to the right and he murdered an Egyptian who was mistreating his people. Now, when in our society, if you look to the left and you look to the right and you think about it, in our society, that would probably be labeled as premeditated murder. But yet he went on and fled because he was afraid of Pharaoh, lived in the wilderness, and then God called him to go back to the same place where he had done that crime and told him to lead the people out of captivity. And Moses is now known more for what he did in his latter years than in his former years. And we don't think of him being a murderer. And when I started seeing things like that in the Bible, and I started seeing the word of God that way, that God redeems and restores and uses people mightily in great ways when they humble themselves, it gave me hope. So my encouragement to those families is find hope from the word of God. And that's what we do at Fortress of Hope Ministries, is we bring these truths out from the word of God and we share it with them to give them hope.
That is unbelievable. That is so powerful. Truly. What a great need you have filled for the kingdom. Because I know that more children, and I call them children if they're 18, 19, 20, 21, are going to prison than ever. Now, they may not keep them, but they are felons and they have been put behind bars. And you've now given us a place to find hope and a community so you don't feel alone and isolated. And that's what the enemy loves to do.
Absolutely. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy and isolate us and separate us.
Yes. Is there a word you might leave to a parent that might have some gut feelings? Me and you call it the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And they find that their child might be hanging around the wrong crowd or in drugs or alcohol. Is there a word you might encourage them with today that might prevent something this tragedy?
Is to continue praying and to continue praying. And as I share in the book about how we are ambassadors for Christ and that we can pray as an ambassador on our loved one's behalf, that is a very powerful prayer strategy to silence the enemy, because the enemy wants to accuse us before God day and night, according to Revelations 12:11. And he does that. And if there are any legal rights to our children that the enemy has to act on their life because they're not living right with God. We can act as ambassadors on their behalf and take them before the throne room of grace and mercy, as Hebrews 4:16 talks about, and find that God will put up barriers in their life and that will prohibit them from going down those destinies, going down those paths of those roads that will lead to danger.
Wow.
And God does hear a mama's prayer.
Yes, he does. He does. Well, Shonda, I can't thank you enough for, number one, staying obedient to the Lord in the midst of a tragedy and trauma. And then not only just staying obedient and surrendering your lives and your family, but then paying it forward to help others. There's just nothing greater you could have done. And I'm just so thankful for your time today.
Well, thank you for having me, Lane.
Wow. What a great day today. What hope did Shonda give us? Look, there are a lot of things we can do when we're facing a trauma. And I was just so amazed at Shonda's faith. I mean, just what amazing faith she showed us. I hope you enjoyed today, and I hope it spoke to you. And if you have someone in your life that may be facing something very traumatic, maybe share this podcast. Listen, I want to thank y'all. Thank you for making the journal, the Enjoy Today, Own Tomorrow journal, just an amazing success. Number one new release on Amazon. And you've made the book, Enjoy Today, Own Tomorrow, a bestseller. Listen, y'all are the reason I do all of this. And just know how much I love y'all. And I hope you have a great week. Thanks again for tuning in. I would love to hear your thoughts from today. I am so thrilled we have connected. Would you take an Insta screenshot and share it on your story? Then tag me, please. Share with me what touched your heart today. You are the reason I do this, so that we together can build friendships where we turn our hurts to healings together, so that we can enjoy today and own tomorrow. Let me know what you'd like to hear too, and share this with all of your friends.
To learn more about the Enjoy Today, Own Tomorrow podcast, or to be a part of Lane's growing community, visit her website, lanelawsoncraft.com. You will find a genuine, honest, and refreshing group that encourages one another that healing is possible, hope is available, and the power we need is right here within us. Thanks for joining in, and we hope you enjoy today and own tomorrow.